It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now, we spoke last time about how that corrupt communication can cause many problems within a society, within people that know better, but they simply do not do better. And in many communities, it lowers the people to speak with vulgarities and even to the point of taking our Lord's name in vain. Corrupt language, filth, is heard even among those who are in the position of teaching. And I said this last time, that it's not only seen in colleges and universities, but the unheard-of filthy language is heard of in many government, and this would be public schools, where our youngsters grow up thinking that just because a teacher uses foul, vulgar language, that it is acceptable. Well, God help us to hold accountable those ungodly teachers who take advantage of our kids, and to also hold to account those who place ungodly teachers in the important role of teaching. Everyone needs to be held accountable. It's never wrong to do right. We always do right because it is the right thing to do. And notice something else here. The importance of letting no corrupt communication proceed will be seen from the influence of such corrupt communication. The passage of an impure thought through the mind leaves contamination behind it. The expression of such a thought deepens the contamination on the soul and corrupts others. It's like keeping a decaying body above ground to pollute the air and to spread disease and death, which should at once be buried out of sight. A Christian should be pure in his conversation. His master was pure. His God is pure. The heaven to which he goes is pure. The Christianity which he professes is pure. Never should he indulge himself in an obscene reference. A Christian should never retell a story of an obscene nature or smile when they are told by others that something is of an obscene nature. Never should it be, and never should he, the Christian, indulge in a joke that could be interpreted not only referring to something good, but could also insinuate something bad, corrupt. If those with whom the Christian associates with does not have enough respect for themselves and him to refrain from corrupt and shameful references, then that Christian should at once leave them. Get away from that. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Notice, "but that which is good to the use of edifying," which is good. Think of this as to instruction that is useful, in other words. And that means personalized to educate, to guide, and to comfort others, to promote their intelligence and purity. Speech is an invaluable gift, a blessing of incredible worth. Recently, we have seen our children of this country masked. They've been placed behind masks, and they cannot communicate with each other. Communication is important for the human race, that we communicate and communicate only those things that are pleasing to God, not filthiness. By speaking, we may be able to give others some information which they do not have. God help these people who have placed these masks upon our youngsters to keep them from communicating with each other and communicating with adults, so that they will be able to learn the things that they need to know in this life. Now, we may be able to give some comfort which others need by our edifying through correct speech. We may be able to bring out some truth in a conversation, or we may be able to give a friendly warning to those who are in danger of going astray. I'm speaking to Christians. We are to help others, help them to be on guard. Now, the person who talks for the plain sake of talking will say many foolish things. But the person whose aim in life is to benefit others will not likely say something that he will not, or that he will have occasion to regret. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, "But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, "In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." James 1, 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We need to control our lips. We need to control our tongue. And we need to let God do that. We need to let him control what comes out of our mouth. We need to fill our hearts and our mouth with the word of God. "Thus saith God." And the way we do that is to get into his book, into his word, into the Bible. We study the word of God and we hide it in our hearts so that God can bring things to our remembrance that we need to know when we're speaking, when we have communication with other people. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying," or to the letting people know things, to edifying, to the good. Why are we to do this? The verse goes on to say that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We're to let our conversation be pure, wise, and holy, that it can be the means of telling of the grace of God and can be a means of passing on the word of God so it can be a divine influence to those who hear. So let your conversation, your speech, be such that it is received gratefully and accepted by those who hear it. Never damage humility. In other words, the humility. Never be the person who is so prideful that they let that interfere with their communication. Never damage truth or faith with your speech. Attempt to instruct those you talk to with humility, truth, and faith. With your speech, speak favorably to the person in need, that you may, if possible, satisfy the need the individual may have. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." We need to be careful what we say. And when we say something, it needs to be by God's word. That is, when we're out and we're talking to someone about Jesus Christ, we need to let them know about Jesus Christ. Now, it's good as a Christian to let someone know your testimony, to let someone know how you got saved. But I keep reminding that your testimony will save no one. It must be by the word of God that person knows how to go to heaven. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 now we look at. We've seen about the communication that we're to have and we're not to have, the talk that we're to do and the talk we're not to do, and the speech that we're to have and the speech we're not to give. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." That brings joy to my heart, knowing that I'm sealed by the Spirit of God. There's nothing able to break that seal. I can't even break it. If I could break it, that means that I am more powerful than God. If someone says that they can break that seal, they're saying they're more powerful than God. In other words, they're saying I can be lost after I'm saved. After God has saved me, I can break that seal. But we're not stronger than God. If we were stronger than God, we wouldn't need him. But the Bible says and teaches me that we are of an unclean thing, that all of our righteousnesses are as unclean things, as filthy rags in the sight of God. Therefore, we need God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. You see, this is addressed to Christians, and it proves that it is possible for them to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's not saying that you're lost if you grieve the Spirit of God. You may feel like it, but you're not lost. You're still a child of God. Let me remind you that every person, at the moment he or she gets saved, receives the Spirit's indwelling presence. And in fact, the Bible teaches that if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you did not trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." In other words, the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit here that we're reading, but the Spirit of Christ is the Holy Spirit. If any man does not have the Spirit of Christ dwelling in them, then they're not of God. How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? Well, you ask Jesus for forgiveness of sin, confessing you know you are a sinner. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." Why? "For that all have sinned." You get saved from a devil's hell when you realize you can't go to heaven the way you are, and that you need Jesus to save you. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death," and that's hell. "But the gift of God is eternal life," and that's heaven, "through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, you tell Jesus you want him to save you, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth. You take Jesus, in other words, at his word when he says in John 6, 37, "Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." With the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Believe God when he says in his word, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Romans 10, 13. You do not get saved by a feeling. You get saved by Jesus. It is a fact. Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even to him doth this man stand here before you whole." Acts 4, 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other under other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Acts 16, 31, "And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Salvation is a fact. Salvation is by faith. Salvation then brings feeling. You're joyful when you get saved. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved. Philip left him. The Ethiopian went on his way. And when he went on his way, he left. He went, the Bible says in Acts chapter 8, he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoice today because you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.